that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we are coming to you live this morning, this Saturday, April 2nd, 2022. And yeah, the first 3 months of the calendar year are up and gone, and the solar year has started, and here we are 14 days later, and we will celebrate the Passover this evening. But we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. Tim, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
We're glad you're here, too. And Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Josh, thank you for getting up and being with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you as well, the remnant, out there from sea to shining sea, north, south, east, and west, and who knows where else, up in Canada and over in the European Union, and, well, just all over as the broadcast goes out all over the world. But we do welcome you here, and thank you for joining us. And Pastor put this program together years ago as an opportunity for Christian-minded, mainly men. I guess we certainly have women call in, but men to get together and for Christian fellowship and to talk about what is going on and to share that with others, because there's such a lack of that Christian fellowship and Christian talk these days. And so we'll have the phone lines open this morning if you'd like to join us, but we're going to start out with prayer. And Jason, we'll look to you to open us up in prayer this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and ask, Father, for your blessing upon us this morning as we can go out across the airways. Lord, we just ask that you be with the remnant across this land. And Lord, we pray, Father, tonight for tonight's Passover broadcast. Father, we pray that those that are supposed to join us, supposed to keep the Passover, that you do just that, Father. And we thank you for this Passover day that you've granted us. And we ask, Father, that people understand the importance and that they observe it and that they do join us and take communion. I know that's the most important thing that people need to be doing right now. I really believe that you have a remnant, Father, that loves you and honors you and reverences you, Father, and wants you to save America again. And, Lord, we pray, Father, for that remnant across this land, Father, for them to rise up and to wake up and to do their part, and Father, for people to put their trust in you. We thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day, and we just ask, Father, that you continue just to use your remnant, Father. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make, and make sure the lines are, yep, lines are open. So, if you do want to do that, and, Jeremiah, we've been reading a Jeremiah this past week, part of our Bible reading plan, and just one quick verse here I wanted to start out with. I think it is a warning, an instruction, and Jeremiah 51 verse 45 says, "Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Now, so that your heart does not grow faint, and you are not afraid of the report that will be heard in the land. For the report will come 1 year, and after that another report, and another year, and violence will be in the land, with ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, days are coming when I will punish the idols of Babylon." And I think that's a repeat. It's certainly not the first time God has said that in his word. When you read, as we've been reading, preparing for the Passover, that was one of the things that the plagues of Egypt were against the idols of Egypt, the small g gods. And so much of that is lost today in people's thoughts, even Christians, especially Judeo-Christians that have no desire to look a little bit deeper into this. But those small g gods have been punished before, as well as those that follow them. And that's what his word says. I don't think you can get around it. When I will punish the idols of Babylon. And when you read on through it, it is basically Babylon is going down. And, it says in verse 48, "Then heaven and earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon." And that's not shouting for joy that Babylon exists. It's that Babylon has been taken down. And I think that we have to make sure we see the events of the day with this type of filter, with this type of understanding, that this is what's happening. That Babylon is coming down. The things that have held Babylon up for so long and held us in Babylonians in this Babylonian type of captivity for so long, that those things are changing. And it's for the good, for those that will come out of her, my people, that we read elsewhere, that will come out and that will not be afraid of the reports. Because if all you do is go with the reports and look at it from a fleshly nature, well, it's getting pretty dim and grim and dismal out there. But when you can see that it is, that it's Babylon that's going down, and when that goes down, he has his remnant that survives through it. So anyway, my 2 cents to start this morning. I'll pass the baton.
Well, one of the things that I noticed that was kind of interesting is Josh brought this up to me, but it was the planetary alignments that we have that are just seem to be kind of out of the blue. One of the articles that I ran across calls it a parade of planets will cross the night sky through spring 2022. And it talks about the planets that are not normally lining up. And astrologically, 2022, or astronomy-wise, it's not a very active year. But this year, we got Venus, Saturn, Mars, and the Moon lining up on occasion, which is a really strange combination. The first cluster that we're going to see is Mars, Saturn, and Venus. And that just happened at the end of March. And it rallied, I guess, about the best time you could see it was March 31st. But it was a lot of the parts of the country and here in the United States, you can see it with the naked eye, if you didn't have a telescope, during certain hours of the day. And it lasted several days. And then next, by mid-April, Jupiter is going to come into alignment with that as well. By April 23rd, that's when you'll be able to see the moon in the alignment. So I don't know. That was kind of interesting. I mean, I don't understand a lot of that stuff, but I know that it's always significant. And Tim, I didn't know if you had anything on that. I know that you keep up on some of that stuff.
Well, I did see that there was a bunch of them coming up, and I unfortunately haven't had time to dig a little more. But some of them are kind of like definitely once in a lifetime alignments. I mean, or maybe even once in a millennium alignment, you know, and like, I think you summed it up nicely. It just falls into the whole time within time as far as God sending us signs and wonders of those things going on, because it doesn't matter whether they can chemtrail things or whether they can do a lot of things. They certainly cannot control the heavens as far, you know, or even attempt to. That's God's domain. And the other thing that always interests me about a lot of these alignments, and it's a little more generic, is the fact that those alignments were set in the heavens time before time, you know what I'm saying? I mean, those things, they've been coming, they've been, God set that stuff in order before we don't even think about the issues or the amount of that goes on. It's beyond our finite minds. And I think that just always leaves me in awe whenever I see it. You know, I just didn't. So he had it all. We don't know the times, but he does. So,
sometimes it's almost like it's a different clock that's ticking up there. And, you know, yeah. By June 24th, the five planets and the moon will align, which would be Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And all of them should be visible on the crescent moon. And and as far north as we are, I don't know if we'll be able to see all of them at once or not, but we should be able to see. There should be. The farther north you get, I understand that it'll be easier to see all of them at once. We should be able to see most of them where we're at. That would be coming up in, so I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting. Josh, I don't know. Did you look into any more of that?
No, I didn't. Just, you know, read a couple articles on it, but I didn't dig any deeper into the significance or the, you know, possible meanings of it.
Well, remember back in 2017 when we had the solar eclipse that cast the shadow completely across the United States, from Alaska, Canada, and all the way across, and we had a pretty good viewing of it here back in 2017. And it went from the northwest to the southeast, and it's forecast that in 2024, 7 years later, that there's another one that'll be a full total eclipse, solar eclipse, not a partial, not just a blip, but part of these alignments from the southwest to the northeast, and that the shadow of these two eclipses it make a big X, you know, right over, like, I think southern Michigan. So, you know, almost right in the middle of this country. And so, yeah, the signs that are in the heavens, like you said, Tim, God has put them there. They are in order, and they show His order. And they have been there, or at least the preparation for them have been there since, you know, since before time began. And so I think he puts these things there for us to see. You know, what does it mean? Well, I think that's open for interpretation. But these signs are in the heavens. They are. We see them. We had we had Wednesday night prayer meeting. Didn't get to go get out and see them. But they said the northern lights were visible as far south as us, and even from Colorado. I think on Wednesday night this past week, and that is not normally, you know, an event. The northern lights, that you normally have, you see up in Alaska and Canada and places like that. We don't usually see them down here, but I've seen several pictures and reports that that they were, and it's just because of, you know, additional massive new solar flares that happened however long ago it takes for that to get here, that was set in place, years ago. But changes, things that that, you know, Tim, you mentioned it might be once in a lifetime, once in a millennium type thing, that you know, not just that happens every day, like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, but changes, things that that are somewhat out of the ordinary.
Well, and our God works through cataclysmic change. I mean, it's a fact. Creation, destruction, the changeover of things. You know, it happens in a day. It happens in a moment. I mean, we see those kind of things go on biblically all the time, and. He's traditionally used, if you study into the long day of Joshua, if you study into a lot of things, you find out that there were marks in the heavens of that too, the long days, floods, many of those things had heavenly bodies associated with them. And a lot of Christians tend to use that as an explanation for what happened, and I don't think it's not a mechanical causation. It's a herald event. You know, I mean, God was announcing it, and it put a mark in the heaven that was there forever. I mean, historically speaking, it couldn't be forgotten. It couldn't be altered. All you had to do was look up to see it, you know, and understand what you were seeing. And you know, we've got some pretty good books about that, but it's not the reason that those things happened isn't because, oh, well, this planet got out of kilter, or this one was here or there. Those right. That was the announcement, not the reason for it. God was the reason. But, you know, we see these things coming, and it's kind of interesting to me that in their movie out or something that says, don't look up now, or something like that, they were talking about. I mean, I haven't seen it, but, our Bible says, look up, your help draws nigh. So,
right.
You know, kind of an interesting causality.
You're right about that, Tim. Throughout the Bible, there have been these events that that happened then. You know, there may have been some telltale signs leading up to them, but these pivotal moments where we were put in a place where we had to make a decision, and were we going to stand with God, or were we going to shrink back? And it's no different today with us. I was just thinking about this morning, the scripture, Corinthians 16:13, be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. But that be on the alert. Part of it is we should always be looking and always be ready. We should always have the oil in our lamp, whatever that means, if it's physically, if it's spiritually. And that is that's a lifestyle. That's not just something that you can do from time to time. You've got to be on the alert, both our faith, our physical muscles and our faith muscles are something that, if you don't use them, you lose them. And so it takes a lifestyle of, preparedness in a physical sense, and also more importantly in a spiritual sense, when we're spending that time with God in prayer and working for the kingdom and being found in His will. So that being on the alert, and then, you know, standing firm in the faith, the second part of that's every single day. And, you know, piggybacking off that, just think about our daily walk and where we fail and where we fall and we fall away. And it is hard to get up. You know, it's hard to, whenever you make mistakes, we're all going to make mistakes. Every story in the Bible highlighted us where we, you know, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to fall. But the thing is to get back up and get back on that bicycle, get back on that, the standing firm in the faith and go again. And to me, that is what acting like a man is. Jason and I were discussing the difference between meekness and weakness, and, you know, meekness, having that ability to impart your will, but choosing not to, versus the weakness where you're helpless. And so that was kind of on my mind this morning, is acting like men, you know, and what is that to act like men? And if I had to summarize it, that's what I say. That's your walk, you know, getting back up and going again, though weary, pressing on. And to me, when you see these signs and you see the different things, that helps us. That is that's God speaking to us. And
yes, amen to that.
And it makes, yeah, I think a lot of people are under the impression that preparedness is something that you can buy at a store, you know, or when actually, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with some of that, but what I want to say is that being prepared is a situation of mind, body, and soul. And a lot of people just want to buy, they just want to buy things for the physicality of it, and the Bible clearly tells us many, many times that will be, you know, that's not enough. I mean, that it'll fail you. The arm of strength, that's your body, will fail you. You've got to have the sustenance of the mind and the soul as well. And that complete person is what God wants to be. That's prepared. Prepared is all the way across the board. You know, it's a mind, body, and soul that is committed to God's plan and purpose, and seeks to bring about the, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what are those things? that's the preparedness of it, you know. And one of the other ones that I always think goes along with that nice is Jeremiah 51:20, and you know, he says, you're my war club, my weapon of war, and with you I shatter nations, and with you I destroy kingdoms. Does that mean that you maybe grab your sword and charge into the into the fray. And no, it's a whole body thing. It's a commitment of mind, body, and soul that makes you that. That can't be, you can't be undone. You can't go away. You can't be destroyed. And God uses that, His plan. And I always thought that the selection of a war club in that verse was interesting because, you know, a club is something to beat things down with. a sword, it cuts things apart, there's lots of weapons there. But that war club is usually takes multiple hits. It usually takes determination. It takes all those things to make that weapon work. And
normally they're not real sharp.
No, that's true too.
That's right.
Yeah,
they're not necessarily. Yeah, that doesn't. Shouldn't bring to mind the sword of the spirit or something like that. The sword that is sharper. And no, the war club and the reference Bible calls it the shatterer. You know, the shatterer. That's what it is. It's and it's when he says that the idols of Babylon will be punished. They guess what? They will be shattered. You know, think about all the times, like in Gideon's time, when he pulled down his father's Baals, the big statues, and at other times that that God brought his wrath on these things, and that's what they were. They were shattered. You look at Egypt, the plagues that they went through, and then the death of the firstborn of all that were not covered by the blood. You know what they were? They were shattered. They were shattered. Those small g gods of Egypt, the people of Egypt, that's what they were. They were shattered. And it's that way today. If, like you said, Tim, if we trust in Him, you know, whether it's the little old lady in an apartment building that prays to God, right? She might not have room for her a year's worth of food stored up and water filters and all this other stuff because she lives in a little apartment somewhere. But, you know, she can be a mighty warrior. She too can be His war club, through the faith and the trusting that and the prayers that that certainly are needed. Anyway, that just comes to mind that there are, you know, different levels of preparedness, different responsibilities, you know, based on what we can do and what we can do in the physical and what we should be doing certainly in the spiritual. I like how you guys have put it. You know, Josh, you said it's a lifestyle. It is. It's not just a lifestyle of hoarding and saving up, but that lifestyle of reading His Word, of being spiritually appraised as well as physically. I think back to Gideon, and Gideon, you know, was both. He was physically ready, and he was being prepared spiritually. You know, he didn't have to be this fearless leader. He certainly wasn't. The least in his house, the least in the kingdom, and he was scared. Where God had to prop him up and help him to overcome his fears, but God did those things and used him as a mighty warrior, and He'll do the same for us. Josh, go ahead.
When you talk about that, you know, painting the picture of the little old lady, you know, and then versus the young, strong, successful man, we'll put it out there, you know. Jason and I have been discussing and pondering the parable of the servants that were given the silver until their master came back, you know, 1-5, 1-2, 1-1. God knows what we can handle, and if we are faithful with what we have, then He will grow us to that. You know, the servant that had that could handle the 5 talents and that doubled it up and got another 5. He wasn't the only one that made the trip. The one that could only handle the 2 talents that did well by what he had. And was faithful, though he only grew those two by two, the master was still pleased, and he got to, you know, keep the, or got to have the reward.
Yes.
Later,
yes.
Versus the one that just dug a hole and buried it. And so it is, God expects us to grow. That there's this, that, and there's so many other examples, you know, through the Bible where he doesn't get any pleasure out of us just hiding and then shrinking back. And you know, we do have to be in the world and not of the world, but also too, you got to meet people where they're at. Jesus came here for us, and the disciples went out amongst the nations, and you know, we got to be that example. We got to be that light. And Tim, one of the things that, back to what we were talking about in that spiritual preparation, physical preparation, I have lied to myself, and I wouldn't imagine I'm the only one, but, and just said, well, man, you know, whenever you know, when things get bad, you know, I'm gonna plant me a garden, or when things get bad, I'm gonna have time, and I'm gonna get in shape, and I'll be able to fight, and you know, these different things that we tell ourselves, that, you know, we're gonna wait until it's a better time.
Yes.
To prepare, and those are lies that we tell ourselves.
Yeah.
And that will put you in a bind.
I'll pray more then. I'll get in a closer walk with God then. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. The time.
Right.
The time is now. That's for sure.
And for us to change anything, first we got to change ourselves, right? We got to pull that log out of our own eye before we can help anybody else with their splinter. And
exactly.
That's that. You know, the ownership we got to take of our lives, and the accountability. And we got to look at fixing ourselves before we can be part of the solution.
My father-in-law used to say that, and I, you know, I kind of took that to heart. As I married very young, and you know, God was in it. I look now and go, wow, I see some of these other people. But the point is my father-in-law told me when I was younger and dumber, that he said, you know, usually the decision, when you're faced with a decision between this and this, generally, not always, but most usually, the decision that is not the easy one, not the you default to the manly, to the man of sin. You default to the your decision for making paradigm will tend to, the harder decision is the right one, you know. And if you, and throughout my life, I've thought of that a lot of times. And you know, he's right. The more difficult decision, and on the backside of it, you're like, wow, I'm glad I did that the right way, you know. But it takes a strength of character to look at some of those major decisions in your life and go, well, this is going to be harder. This is going to be more, but that's the one I need to make. You know, that's the right one that serves God and serves country and serves family. And so, you know, there's a lot of those kind of things that we have to weigh and remember and understand. So I think, yeah, you know, the easy one's easy right now. You know,
where was easy ever the Christian way? You know, but that's what's been soaked into the brainwashed masses today. You know, take the easy way out. You know, what's easier? What's easier? And not what's right or what's righteous. And it's not, you know, easy and Christian are not synonymous, not at all. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tim. You were sure making points.
Well, I was just thinking about what Pastor used to say about those preachers in the pulpit that are preaching the easy way and the namby pambyism that's in the pulpit today. And you love them today, but I'll tell you what, when the kingdom comes, you're gonna hate them. You know, and that's where we're at today. We have a lot of people out there who just, you know, they don't walk Christ's road. And that doesn't mean because you make tough decisions that there's no joy or no happiness or no benefit to it in this life or in those things that are going on. There is, but you just have to commit yourself to it and understand it. But we also have a lot of people out there who complicate Christianity to the point of it being a miserable existence. I don't think that was ever God's intent either.
No.
So, you know, that was about all I had.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to join in, we've still got time left this morning. And we'd be glad to take your call. Josh, go right ahead.
Well, back to what you just said, Tim, you know, how those Christians, what they show of their Christianity. I was telling Jason last night, one of the things that turned me off as a young man to Christian, to being a Christian was a Christian man, you know, leader in the church, was the limp-wristed three-finger handshake and the lisp and, you know, the fact that to be a good Christian, that's what had been put before me in my experience, was that you couldn't really be a man. And that doesn't make somebody like me want to get a big helping of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been taught. It hasn't been pushed from these, and I say mainly these Judeo-Christian, these false churches, because if you put anything before Christ, it is a falsity. Look at the disciples. Look at what they were, fishermen. I don't know if you've ever known any, and Josh, I'm sure you have, but saltwater fishermen. I think back, I grew up, my dad had a friend, Bubba Smith, and he had two shrimp boats out in Savannah, Georgia. And he was a fisherman, you know, out on the shrimp boats. And you talk about a man's man, as far as you think about in the physical and in the, you know, in the flesh, a grip that could just probably crush your head, and hardened skin, you know, just out from out being in the salt water and out on the ocean all the time and rough, you know. But it was yes, sir, and no, sir, to somebody like that, because they were men. He was, you know, I think about it now, you know, rough, tumble man. And that's who Jesus called. Now, that wasn't the only ones, but that was the first ones that he called, were these fishermen that knew, you know, new work, knew how to be a man, I guess, is what comes to mind. And that has been totally lost. That has been totally lost in any kind of teaching, especially from these, you know, these Judeo-Christian churches. Yeah, it's they don't understand, like you guys were talking earlier, the difference between weakness and meekness. Anyway, yeah. Not appealing. You know, that's not appealing to real men.
And to separate the two, you know, once again, I'm pretty sure we draw that line. I'm not saying a real man, somebody that walks in the room yelling, beating on his chest, you know, look at me. That meekness is the most important part of the formula there. I'll clarify, you know, what I'm talking about. Don't want.
Yeah. I agree. Meekness is a tenderness of the heart toward godly things and,
yes,
and your brethren and that. And weakness is a lay down on the road and let them drive over the top. You know, and I think that's I always, I mean, I've known several men throughout my life that were that way when I was younger that I admired, that they were, man, they were tough guys, but they had a sweetness to them toward their friends and toward their family, and that was really kind of seemed out of character compared to the rest of the world, you know. It was a motivational thing, and it was but you didn't want to mess with them. You could believe that if they told you that you were going to get a beating or get shot, if you did that, you could take it to the bank, you know. So
yes,
it's like you knew exactly where they stood, and that to me has always kind of defined those characteristics. I mean, so yeah, I wholly agree with that. I think what you're saying there is really apt.
You got any thoughts, Jason?
No, I agree with you. I've seen that time and time again, and I know that there's a lot of people that won't go to church just simply because of that, because of, like you said, the three-finger handshake, you know, the limp wrist, you know, and the lisp. But it's, they know that there's a law that's written on their heart, and they know that that's wrong instinctively, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. And, you know, it's a form of counterfeit Christianity, you know. And, you know, then there's other people that, you know, I mean, I'm talking to a lot of people, and I used to talk to Dad about it on a pretty regular basis. And, you know, that is that, coming to me, telling me you're a Christian, and with an open handout, okay, so, you know, I'm a Christian, what can you do for me? That's turned a lot of people off from Christianity as well. And, you know, Dad used to tell me one of the first things that he learned being a young pastor is when somebody would come up and tell him that he was they were a pastor, or they were a preacher, or they were a reverend, that one of the first things he had to do is put his grab his wife's hand and put his other hand on his pocketbook. Because they wanted to touch your wife, or they wanted you to get in your pockets. And it's true, you know, seeing it time and time again, going around and I'm a Christian. What can you do for me? God bless you, brother. What can you do for me? And that's another one of the things that, has turned people, off against Christianity in a big fat way. You know, people can talk about, they have all the Jew jokes about, you know, them trying to get in your pocketbook and how cheap they are. A lot of the Christians are the same way. You know, they'll God bless you, but when it comes down to it, where, you know, are they going to put their money where their mouth is?
That's right, because they have been Judaized and don't even realize it. They just don't realize it. A lot of them. I think a lot of them do. A lot of them do. But they have been taught this false Christianity, this false Jesus, and this false way, and it's not the way of true Christianity. You know, what a blessing that we were able to to have the man's man as the pastor and prophet that we had, that, you know, was just. I mean, there was no doubt. You knew where Pastor stood, and you knew that he was a man first and foremost. And there's so many that just do not have that. And our enemy understands it. You know, they've taken since 1965 and the passage of the Civil Rights Act, have taken the black man out of the home and destroyed the black community. And that was just practice for doing it to the white population, and they have done that as well. For the most part, removed the man from the family, and convinced them that it's better to be out there footloose and fancy free. It comes to mind. The Bible says when You guys will have to help me with it, but it says something about the men will be more rare than the gold of Ophir, something like that. And that I think in another part, God says, "This I will do for you. I will let you ask me for men." And that's because they're so rare. Well, guys, the phone lines are ringing. Let me bring them on. We've got, I think we've got a caller here. Good morning. Thanks for calling in the coffee.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Good morning.
I love you guys. The show.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Southern Illinois, more or less like the Metro East of St. Louis. And this is what you guys are talking about today has been on my mind about how men are acting. And in my experience, well, see, I'm 57 years old. And when I was raised up, we were taught to respect people, and men were men, just like you guys were just talking about. And I sit home here and I think, I mean, I'm an upside down world here. And when we're talking about, you know, it seems like the only men that are respected are the ones acting like women. And they're way too sensitive. And I can go to the grocery store and walk tall. I'm a big guy. And you just see them just kind of just split away from you. And a lot of them are behind a mask. And they just don't know how to be men anymore. And God help us all to try to find a young man that can work hard. And that's very rare. I mean, are you guys experiencing these things? I mean, this is on a daily basis.
It's rare because we haven't grown those young men to work hard. It's our fault of giving them the easy lives and not being tough on them, not expecting more out of them. That's where the problem is come from, is from us. And, you know, all these conversations that we're having, all the different topics, they're of no value if you don't take them and turn them around and shine them at yourself and see, okay, where is this applicable to me? Where am I being limp-wristed? Where am I not having the work ethic? Where am I not being the example? And that's where the value is. And you can take that light and shine it on yourself and see your flaws. So I definitely agree with you that there are not the numbers of youth that we'd like to see out there, you know, living the sort of life that they should. But also, I have seen it time and time again where when we take that first step and we lead, we were working a storm one time, and always whenever my guys would go in to eat breakfast in the morning, I'd be at the back of the line, make sure everybody else ate before I ate, because if somebody was going to go out and meal, I wanted it to be me. And there were times where it actually happened, but anyway, when we would, so we'd all sit down, they would get their food before me. So therefore they would get through eating before I would. And as we, you know, wrapped up, I'd always go to the trash can because the first morning I saw a little older lady, trying to lug this big, 50 gallon trash bag out of this commercial trash can, take the trash out. So I went and helped her with that. Well, then the next morning when I got through eating, I went and took the trash out. Then the next morning when I got through eating, I went and took the trash out. Well, about that third or fourth morning, one of those other guys, whenever they finished up eating before me, they went and took the trash out. And then the next morning, somebody else took the trash out. And so people are watching us. They're watching every single thing
Absolutely.
We do. And I know that's just a small example, but
well, you're a man that leads by example, apparently.
That's right.
And that's what men are supposed to do.
That's right.
If you have men under you and you wait, and you don't go you go without eating because you want your men fed. You know, that leaves an impression on people, you know? It's not your rank, it's the man that you follow. You know, in the military, nobody respects an officer that just tells people what to do in the workplace or anything like that. And And this whole corporatism thing they got going on, I'm not even going to go there right now.
Yeah,
but it's the man that you respect.
That's right.
And these men followed you, your example. And I do that stuff all the time, but in my neck of the woods, nobody's receptive to anything. And you just don't just bring up Jesus to anybody. I don't go out. I work construction and stuff like that, you know. And a lot of these guys are, I would say, heathens. And I used to be one, too. But this is what I do, and this is the world I'm in, you know.
Sure.
But I do try to plant little seeds like that. And,
well,
and you just...
That's
you
what
just
we're to do.
Step up.
That's right. That's what we're to do, caller. You know, we don't plant mighty oaks. We plant seeds. We plant seeds.
All right.
And I tell you what, caller, can you call back at the top of the hour? You know, that's only about 15 minutes. But can you call back? I'll be here, and I'd like to talk to you about something. Would that work? My name's Richard.
Okay.
If you'll call me back, yeah, just top of the hour.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. We got another caller. We're going to try another caller. And let's try the other caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You've been talking about this day, the second day, the Passover.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me where could I put the blood? Is that the communion, the blood?
Okay, yeah, question about communion and the blood. We don't kill a lamb today and put the blood on the doorpost. We don't do that. Today, if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. And so today, it's the blood of Christ that is applied in our lives, and that happens through baptism. That saves us from the death angel. Christ overcame death, and he made a way for us to overcome death if we trust and obey him. And so 2 Corinthians 5:7 would be a good place to see that, and it just says, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed, and it tells us that Christ is our Passover. And that's, I'm sorry, it's 1 Corinthians 5:7, not 2. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And
I was baptized in the river from another friend who is a Christian. I consider myself baptized.
Well, that blood has been applied, and so it properly baptized and doing, you know, our best to lead a Christian life, that blood is applied. And it's the equivalent of the blood being on the doorpost and the lintel when the death angel comes.
So what else is important on the Passover?
I would suggest, you know, reading Exodus 12 is the original Passover, and praying. And that's the observation, partaking of communion. Have your communion ready. And if you join us for church, when we have our church on Sunday morning, if you join us on the computer, we're going to do that this evening is the plan, the video stream of our service. And we'll have we'll record it and have that available as well. But we do encourage you to do that. So, man, I see we're running out of time here. But
I've been a member for a long time.
Yes.
I sent something to Richard to get out of the system. You're either a slave or you're free. And there is a way to do it. Is he afraid to talk about that?
No, not at all. And we're running out of time, and I've got another caller. But... you know, one thing I'll say is that we are either, and Pastor taught it, we are either going to be slaves to sin in this system or slaves to Christ, one or the other. and we don't get out of that. But thank you for your call. I hope that was helpful. And yeah, we might have time for one more caller. Good morning, caller. We've just got a minute.
Hey, Richard, it's Warren from Wisconsin. I heard the lady is just on there about to pass over. Praise the Lord, I got in on time. I want her to know that she could anoint her property with anointing oil. I'm going to do it today. It's snowing up here. I'm still going to anoint all four corners of my property. It don't have to be olive oil. I mean, well, as long as you pray over it, it's blessed. And we do that every Passover. And so she's still listening. She can go out and just anoint the doorposts of her house, if nothing else, and pray over it. And I didn't hear all her questions, but it sounds like she's serious with the Lord. So my prayers are with her. God bless you guys.
Thanks, Warren. God bless. Well, guys, any closing comments here the last, excuse me, minute or two?
Beyond that,
no, I don't think we got enough time, but there's a big deal. One of the other things that's going on is this, well, whatever they call it, 42, this Title 42, which they just ended on Friday, which is going to open up the southern borders. It was, and they're saying by the end of May, between, you know, 500,000 and 600,000 people are going to be crossing there. And so that's something that we got to be aware of, but we don't have time to go into it, and maybe we'll get into that next week.
Amen. Well, Remnant, again, we're celebrating the Passover this evening, so we do encourage you, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. on the West Coast. We are planning on streaming our Passover service from the La Porte Church of Christ, and so we encourage you to join us there to read these scriptures, to remember and to observe the Passover and to partake of communion. And so we encourage you to do that. And then church tomorrow morning. So we hope you'll join us, and we'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting.